dies, oh, he will always hear my cry. For there is nothing like walking close to the Lord. Walking close to the Lord is my desire. Having him by my side gives me strength to carry on when all the hope within me dies. Walking close to the Lord. Walking close to the Lord is my desire. Having him by my side gives me strength to carry on when all the hope within me dies.
Bye. Walking close to the Lord, walking close. a spirit like that comes in the church, I want to take notice. I want to realize that God hears the cries of His people, as the song was telling us. And there's many burdens, many situations that we don't have answers for, but God does. He's the reason that we're here today. To come here and here and worship His name. To lift Him up. To praise Him. To magnify Him. Because we know He's a faithful Father. We know when, as parents, if our child is out playing and they fall, they scrape their knee, we see it, we're there for them. We're there to try to comfort them, help them, to teach them through that situation. Our Heavenly Father is so much better than that. He is here for us today. Feeling that spirit, feeling that hunger, that the pain that comes forth here, it was just making me feel like, you know, many brothers could get up here, and we had a wonderful Bible study today. Really appreciated the words that Brother Durham gave us, talking about the five senses, going over what he did in Hebrews. There's other things we could bring forth here today, but sometimes there's a solemn assembly that's called. There's a time to think about those that are in need. To call on the name of the Lord for these great needs. Sister Crafton, apologize. Think about what you're going through with your father right now. I can feel your burden. I can feel that pain. I can put myself in that situation. I know when my father's been in a dire circumstance, that burden you carry. Sister Inez, I can't begin to understand. But I know a man who can. I know a man who can. And I know he cares. Because I've been down. I've been lower than a snake's belly in a rut. And I don't even know what that means. I do, but it's just a really country saying. But he took the time to get down and to help me out when I was down. He took the time to say, son, I'll dust you off and I'll set you on the right path. Sister Henderson, we feel your hurt. We feel the struggle. And that's what we are here. We are a family of God. You know, John, 1 John, he said, if you say that you love God but you hate your brother, you're a liar. Ooh, that's strong. How can I really say to God, I love you when I don't treat my brother and sister right? How can I truly say I love God when I am not feeling the empathy, when I'm not feeling that pain with them? When I'm not there trying to bear their burden? Right now, in my life, I may not have those things going on right now. This may be a time of plenty in my life, but if I see my brother or sister, whether it be sickness, whether it be pain, whether it be a mental concern, if I don't do something right there, if I don't give that opportunity, if I don't take that opportunity to show them, hey, you know what, at the very least, I love you. I love you. And what does that mean to say it? But it's to say, you know what, Brother Tally? Hey, you know, can I be there for you? Can I just be an ear? I'm telling you right now, I can't solve your problems. I don't know the answer. But once again, what? I know a man who can. I know a man who cares. I know a man who can lift us out of the miry clay. I know a man who, like Brother Painter recently brought that back up again. I mean, a blind man from birth. And he Jesus took dirt, clay, and spit on it. Now that's a weird apothecary mix, right, Brother Durham? Put it on those eyes and say, hey, wash. And after the process, the man could see. He had eyes. Now they were natural eyes to see. But we've been given those spiritual eyes to see today. That when we've got a pain, when we've got suffering, when we've got anguish, we can come to the Father. We can fall on the rock and be broken and feel that wonderful Spirit of the Lord washing over. Where no matter what the situation, He's the answer. No matter what the problem, He's the answer. No matter what, He is the answer. Do you believe that with me today, saints? Do we believe that we can worship Him? And at the very least, when we leave this service today, have that peace of God. You know what? He may not have sent that email or that text or that Facebook message saying, well, here's exactly what I'm going to do and how I'm going to handle it. But I can leave here with the assurance and peace that I'm in His hands. That I can just trust in Him one more day. One more day. Because you know what? I don't have a promise of tomorrow. Maybe you guys got the memo that you have already been given tomorrow. I don't have it. I've got right now. So right now, I can't worry about tomorrow or the next week as far as trusting in Him. I'm going to trust in Him today. Today for my salvation. Today for a closer walk with Him. Today to lean on His arm. I'm being given an opportunity to trust in Him. I want to take it. I don't want to take it for granted. I want to say, okay, Lord, You got my attention, Lord. You got my attention, Lord. I'm listening now. So let me be quiet. Appreciated Brother Painter's message the other day. And I may miss one of them, so you can help me. But to live in, to wait on, to walk in, and to be led by the... Oh, that one, of course. Why did I miss that one? To be led by the Spirit. You know, those are things I've been going over in my mind. To be led by the Spirit. You know, up here, when those sisters were coming up, and you could feel the burdens, right then it was like, Lord, I want to have a sensitive heart. I want to know, okay, God, how can they be helped? Because I don't have the answers. But it's that Spirit. If we will just, and it's not just, when I say just, it's not a small thing, but it's not just getting a blessing, but it's truly allowing that Holy Ghost to come alive. It's renewing your mind in Him. You know, when you're in the desert, and I've been there before, thankfully for a very short period of time, but you know there's water. You know it exists. And you have a faith that you know you'll be able to get a drink again. But when you're out there, there's no water. I mean, you can't see anything but dirt, with sand and cactus. And that's all you see. And so if I'm not careful, I'll get my eyes on the desert. I'll get my eyes on the cactus. Prickly things that are continually making my journey more difficult. Instead of realizing I can get a drink. I can be refreshed today. All I have to do is lift up my hands and say, Lord God, have mercy on my soul. Lord, I need a closer walk with You today. Do you need a closer walk with Him today? I can tell you right now, I'll profess with my mouth, I need a closer walk with Him today. Let me tell you what's convicted me lately. When Brother Smith has been talking about having the opportunity or a change in thought in relation to white hairs on the red horse. If I just take that for knowledge's sake and just listen to that, oh, well, that's interesting. Well, that sounds good. I like that. What does it mean to me? How can I apply that to my life? And I know you might laugh at this, but hey, you know, however my mind works, so be it. But I was thinking about the tortoise and the hare. That old fable. I don't want to be like that hare. I don't want to take my journey for granted. Okay? It was a constant journey. That tortoise understood, I just got to take one step at a time. Keep going. But the hare, he said, I'm going to goof off a little bit. I got some speed under my belt. I can take care of this. I got this race. I'm going to whoop that turtle. Now, how does that apply to what I'm saying in relation to the white hares? Because I can have that hare spirit of, I ain't even worried about it. It's on out there. Bless the Lord, someday when the truth and the Spirit are all fulfilled and bless God, there's a white throne judgment, that's when I'll get busy. I'll make a run for it. Exactly. I'll run for it then. But that turtle, he had patience. He understood, I see that goal. I'm focusing in on that goal. I want to be one of those white hairs. What about you today? That's our calling, church. That's our calling, to be one of those white hairs. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait, Sister Inez. Come and drink today. Come and get from Him today. What do you need here today? I was talking to a coworker about this. She was saying, and I can't remember how she referred back to it, but I said, oh, I know what that is. That's name it and claim it. And I don't dig, I can't remember how exactly I said to her. I said, I don't necessarily agree with that line of thought of name it and claim it. You know, oh God, by faith I'll have a Porsche when I get home in my garage. Hadn't happened yet. Because I'm really praying for a Ferrari. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, oh me of little faith. Thanks, Brother Durham. I got to focus. I got to realize, God, it's a daily walk with You. And whenever these moves of the Spirit comes in, this is, as the Bible says, it's times of refreshing. Okay? So what's the Lord saying? I got to have an ear to hear. I got to have eyes to see. What is He saying today? If my people that are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face. Seek My face. We must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I need more of Him. I need more of Him. I don't want to have that spirit like the hare. But I want to keep moving on day by day. I want to keep pulling on His Spirit. I want to, you know, there's some old body terms. We don't hear them as much as we used to. But I don't want to forget where I came from. I don't want to forget that history. I understand, we have a little bit better of an understanding about the veils. But it was a good thought, pressing in behind the veil. Isn't that our goal? Don't we want to walk in a second heaven condition? Well, when Brother Smith is talking to us about being able to be a white hare on that red horse, isn't that going in to second heaven? Isn't that walking, getting so close to walking with Christ daily? As the song was saying, I want to walk with Him daily, Sister Dolores. Do you have needs today that you know only He can meet? Well, let me tell you, all it takes is just us trusting in Him. Coming down here, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. And that's a hard, it's an easy thing to say. When those bumps and bruises start coming my way, I know how my nature is. I know what I start to do. I start to go, okay, Lord, I'm done. Okay, okay, okay. And He's probably got the kid gloves on. I want to trust in Him. I want to rely on Him. And today, that Spirit coming in like this, there's so much more to be had today. There's so much more for us to reach out and get something from Him. So I want to do something a little out, you know, it's not outside of the box. It's not different. You can look at it in a traditional sense. But what are we willing to do to get more of Him? What are we willing to do to get more of Him? If I said, you know what, God's telling me that if we all walk around the church seven times, that we'll get something from Him, who'd join me? God didn't say that to me, okay? I'm not saying that He did. I'm just using an example. But if that would help us, how could that help us? Well, it would get me out of my seat. It would get me starting to focus, you know what? By faith, I'm believing when I reach that seventh time. How many times in the Bible? How many times in the Bible did they just, here's what we need to do? Did they see the results before? No. They had to take the action. They had to walk by faith. Abraham was told, you take your son up on the hill and sacrifice him. Okay. I mean, I don't think he was blasé or flipping about it. I think he was like, this is what God said. You have a son. I have a son. That would be a very tall order. I would, that's one of those times when I would really be thinking, did God really tell me that? God could have thundered out of heaven, and I would probably still go, was that God or was that just me delusional? Did I dream that? Do I really need to take my son up on a hill and kill him? But he went up there by faith. He went up there and he was about to make that final killing stroke, and then God said, stop. Now I know. Now I know. But Abraham had to walk by faith. Today, reach out. Sister Loris, I see the Spirit all over you right now. Whatever song is on your mind, I'm just saying, look, the altar is open here today. These brothers, in faith, we're all going to pray. If you need a touch from the Lord today, if you want a closer walk with Him, then this is the place to get it, in Little Rock, Arkansas. Do you believe it here today? Do you believe it? Can you stand behind me in that right now? That this is the place? If you lift your hands, if you reach out for Him, if you touch Him in His garment, do you not believe He will touch you? Do you not believe He can heal you? Do you not believe He'll get you that much closer to being a white hair? Just call out. Just reach out today. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose today? Oh God, Lord, I need you, Lord. Hey, I'll be first. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I want that closer walk today. I need that Spirit. I need that understanding. I want to be one of those. I want to be one of those. Hey, it's 10,000 times 10,000. We have a chance. It's not just 144,000. God's not saying, oh, the last ticket's being sold. Sorry, son, you don't get in. The water's fine. Come on in. Just reach out today. Lift Him up. Get out of your seats and lift Him up. Break off those bands. Lord, I need you today. Lord, I need a touch from you, Lord. Oh, God, I worship you, God. I worship you, Lord. Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Woo!
change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew. Sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy. Thank you. Oh.
it's going to go, but I appreciate the spirit here today and the words and just the whole thing. And what you were saying, Brother Fisher, really kind of stirred up some thoughts that had been on my mind yesterday. I don't know. Well, I say I don't know where they came from. Maybe they came from God. I don't know. It came from Anne of Green Gables. And I hadn't even watched it or read it. Like, but this quote in that came back to me. And actually, I was trying to remember, and somebody here may remember the steps that Brother Liniger gave several years ago, the D's. I think it started with disappointment, doubt, discouragement. There was like 7 steps, you know, down. And basically, it's like it's a slippery slope. You've got to stop yourself somewhere along that way, or they're just going to keep going down. And that line came to me from that movie where Anne was asking Marilla, said, "Have you ever been in the depths of despair?" And being a pretty emotional and moody person, especially growing up, I could relate. I'd get in the depths of despair really easy. And Marilla said, "No," she said, "to despair is to turn your back on God." And that just kept running over and over in my mind. You know, and then all these other thoughts just started coming in. How, you know, in the Bible, if you want to say he's God and you believe he's God, then he's God. He's not just God when he rolls back the Red Sea and saves you from the Egyptian army. He's also God when he let the Israelites go into captivity in Babylon. The same God who took down the walls of Jericho with just a shout while the Israelites just stood there. You know, he is the same God who allowed them to be defeated by other armies. And all of that was God. He was still God. He was the same God that let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He was still the same God, you know, that provided the manna for them and fed them. You're going to believe he's God, then he is God. And that's what kept coming to me. I have sung so many different songs about God's good all the time. But what we picture in our mind as him being good isn't always, you know, there you go. You know, it's just like kids, you know, if you get on to them and discipline them, they say you don't love them, not understanding as a child, you know, that love has many forms. And in God, good has many forms. And that's what he was striking me with yesterday. It's like a marriage. You take a vow and you vow to stick together for better, for worse. For richer, that's the good part, for poorer. In sickness and in health, all of those things. And if I can do that naturally to a person, and many here have done that and stuck it out for years, if we can do that naturally, how much more do we need to keep that commitment to God? He is God all the time. And not just what I think of as good, but he is God. And that means he is sovereign. He is in control. And maybe he wants me to go in captivity for a while. Maybe he wants me to go through a dry place for a while. If he does, that's bringing something down the road. That's bringing me closer to him somehow. And if that's what it takes, then that's what I want. I want him to still be my God. No matter what, he's still God. He is in control. And if I don't believe that, then it's all for naught anyway. So, what was the point? I'm sorry. That's what I want to do. I want to remind myself and reaffirm today that I committed myself to God. I did not commit myself necessarily, you'll understand what I'm saying, to this church. I did not commit myself necessarily. I've sat under 5 pastors in my life, I think. I did not necessarily commit myself to any one of them. I committed my life years ago to God. He is God. Nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through his hand. And that's what I'm holding on to. That's what I'm believing in. Whatever, if he chooses that I need to go this route or that route through some darkness, through a valley, then that's his choice. And I committed to that. I committed to that, and I want to reaffirm that commitment today, wherever he wants to take me. Wherever he wants to take me, if it'll just end up bringing me closer to him, I'll go.
Thought as Sister Stewart was speaking concerning God and our misinterpretation of it, made a statement to some of the brethren here, said, my father was good all the time. He was either good to me or good for me. But he was always good. He was looking out for my best interest. My best interest, not his. My best interest. And when we realize that God is doing the same thing with us, only really better than what my natural dad did. When we realize that we have a heavenly Father that we can call on every day, any time of the day, regardless of what our situation is, and realize that he really cares. He cares, you know. My natural children, grandchildren, I love them. I appreciate them. And, you know, I was interested in their best welfare, the very best that I could do for them. Plus, I was interested in grooming them to where that as they went out into society, that they could survive, that they could do well in life as much as they possibly could. That was our goal as my wife and I worked and labored through the years to get them grown. And then our grandchildren come along and we've got that same interest for them. We're not quite as close to them as their parents are. But my son one day, back several years ago, our grandsons were a little younger, come up with this great idea that if he bought a motorcycle, he could get to work a lot cheaper than what he could driving a car. And my wife, she very concerned for his welfare and also the grandchildren's welfare. She asked me, said, Wayne, she said, I wish you'd talk to him. You know, her idea of talking to him was go see him right now because, you know, he needs to be talked to and set straight on this idea. It's kind of off the wall. He really don't need a motorcycle. That's what she had in her mind. Well, I waited 2 or 3 days because, you know, my son's grown. And I have to approach him a little differently than what I did when he was, you know, young boy at home. And finally the day arrived that I had the opportunity to talk to him. I said, son, I said, I'll ask you a question. Yeah, Dad. I said, did it ever cross your mind, or did you ever have a question as to why Dad didn't have a motorcycle? He said, well, he said, yeah. He said, a few times this crossed my mind. He said, I know that you rode one, you know, back in your life. I said, yeah, I did. And I said, I enjoyed it. I really did like riding a motorcycle. And, you know, I think I'd still like to get on one and ride it. There's a feeling about riding a motorcycle that's just different than anything else in the world. I'm telling you. I know I was on one. I was working at Timex over here at Adams Field. I clocked out one night at 12:30. And the department where I worked, you went down a hallway nearly a block. You turned left and went another half a block, and then you turned right and you went another half block out the front door. It was over two blocks just to the front door from where I had to clock out. I went those two blocks, I got on that motorcycle and I cranked it up and I went to the house. At 11 minutes to 1 o'clock, I was getting in bed. I had made that trip from clocking out, getting home, getting undressed, and getting in bed in 19 minutes. It don't take an Einstein to figure out that Brother Wayne did not drive that motorcycle right. Oh, I got there and I was alive, but I didn't drive that motorcycle right. And I'm 33 years old. My son, he's not 16 yet. So anyway, the next morning when I woke up, I told my wife, I said, I will not ever ride another motorcycle. Well, Wayne, I thought you enjoyed riding a motorcycle. I said, I do. But I said, Ann, I said, I'm 33 years old, and I pulled a stunt last night that was just as stupid as anything you could come up with. And I said, when Randy gets to be 16 years old and he wants a motorcycle, that boy ain't going to have a prayer. She said, well, if that's the way you're thinking. I said, that's the way I'm thinking. I said, I don't want to be answering to him. No, you can't have a motorcycle because you're too dumb to know how to ride it right. And your dad is even dumber because he can't teach you how to ride it right because of the stunt he pulled. Well, when I got through telling the story to my son, I said, that's the reason Dad didn't bring a motorcycle home. And I left him with that. You know, till this day, he has not gotten a motorcycle yet. I didn't tell him not to get one. But God, I'm telling that story for this reason, that God deals with us much more tenderly than what I dealt with my son. God is interested in us. He's wanting to save us. He said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. What that simply means is that we won't die anymore. We can live. Somebody said, well, you know, I know it sounds kind of morbid in one sense of the word, but I don't mean it to be that way, and I don't like really talking about death nearly every time I get up. But death is not permanent, especially to the children of God. You can go to sleep in Jesus. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which sleep, as though they have no hope. They've got a hope. I'm telling you today, we have a hope in Jesus that far exceeds anything else out in the whole wide world. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a child of God. And He's interested in you. It actually starts before receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, when you turn your life over to God and say, God, I'd like to become one of your children, your lifespan with God starts then, really. It's kind of like a child. A child is not born, but it's still there, even though it's in the womb of its mother. It's conceived. It's not born yet, but it's in the process. It's in the process. And we're, you know, God sees us, and He knows the conditions of our lives. We can't hide anything from God. Now, you may hide things from me, and that's all right. But you're never going to hide anything from God. And I'm not either. We're not going to do it. But here's the thing about it. God knows where we're at. He knows the conditions of our lives. He knows the condition of our hearts. And our hearts is the most important thing. Doesn't mean that we want to just continue out and sin and keep on doing those things. But God has something for us that nobody else has. And He can fix our lives to where we're able to walk and talk and live for Him. When we come to the Lord and we get saved, we get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we trip and fall into the mud. Let me tell you what we used to do with our children. And seemingly, I don't know, probably I'm the only one's got children like this. We'd get ready on Sunday, get them all dressed, cleaned up, and it's rained the night before, maybe the morning. They never walked a straight line from the back door to the car, especially if there was some water holes over here just a little ways or over here just a little ways. Their direction of travel was always right through the middle of that mud hole. Sis, what caused you to go into this mud hole? It's not even on the pathway to the car. Son, what caused you to deviate from the path? What caused this to happen? I don't know. You're standing there looking at them. They got mud all over their shoes, all over their clothes, and they're standing there. I don't know. So you take them back in the house. You've learned a valuable lesson. Those children, when they go out the back door, they need to be led by the master. We take them back in the house, clean them up, and put other clothes on them. That time when they went out the door, Dad had a hold of them, Not real tight, but just enough to keep them on a straight line, at least out of the mud holes. Our Heavenly Father does us the same way. Just because we get saved, get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, does not mean that we won't trip and fall. It doesn't mean that we know how to walk this straight pathway between this experience and the automobile that's going to take us where we need to go. We deviate. There's where I need to be going, but, there's a mud hole right over here that I've been in, several times in my lifetime. Just one more trip wouldn't hurt, would it? Can I go through one more time? Just one more time. We get muddy. We get dirty. And if we're not careful, here's the thing that happens to us. We think, God's not really interested in me anymore. I can't stay out of the mud holes. I can't stay cleaned up. Look, folks, what I want to emphasize here is this, is that we were dirty and filthy before God started with us. And He understands us better than anybody else in the whole world. He understands us. And if you really were to talk to Him ahead of time, He would probably tell you. He's told me in hindsight, look, I know you're going to trip and fall. You're a kid. You're a kid. Yeah, poor kid, yeah. Really, it's poor dad. He's the one that's having to keep cleaning us back up. But He understands us. He knows our nature. He knows what we're like. But He still deals with us. He still saves us. He still fills us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He still accepts us as one of His children. I want to tell you something, folks, tonight. That is a great calling in life. To become a child of God is one of the highest callings that you will ever experience in your whole life. Woo! But you get up out of this mud hole and you think, God doesn't love me anymore. And He really doesn't. He doesn't love you anymore. But the thing of it is, He don't love you any less either. My children, I didn't love them anymore when I pulled them out of the mud hole. You know, but I certainly didn't love them any less. I took them into the house, I cleaned them up. And that's what God does for us. Aren't you glad tonight that He does that for us? Hallelujah! Woo! I almost feel like preaching, but I'm... But He, you know, we can stay in that mud hole, or we can get this idea that God doesn't love us anymore, He doesn't care for us. And we just, you know, we just kind of fall by the wayside thinking He doesn't care. I want you to know that when you become a child of God, He cares. He cares. He cares. I can't emphasize that enough. God cares for His children. Hallelujah. And when you become one of His children, whether you like it or not, He still cares for you. Whether you believe it or not. And that's the thing about God. You know, we can come in and we can say, I'd like to get back with the Lord. I'd like to get my life straightened out. We cannot straighten our lives out by ourselves. We can't do it. If we could have, don't you know that there have been thousands of people back under the law that would have gotten their lives straightened out and they would have received eternal life? But the law doesn't do it. Doesn't do the job. It takes faith in God to get the job done. When we come to God, we're coming by faith. Don't be looking at all your problems. Don't be looking at all you're doing, all the wrongs. What you're doing is you're standing there with this idea in mind, well, I'm just so bad. I've done this wrong. Who are you talking to? Yourself? Are you trying to worship yourself? You've got yourself lifted up in front of you. You can't see beyond yourself. Don't you know that we have to have faith in God? God's able. I would say God's able. He's more than able to complete the work that He started in us. When you come to God, you have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. And so when you begin to lift your faith, you know, you have to lift your faith above yourself. You know, if we look at ourselves, I can't straighten me up. I can't clean me up. I have to remember I'm still just a child. So yeah, but you're a 71-year-old child. It's about time you start doing some things on your own. I'm still just a child of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm so thankful today that I'm here among His people and feeling this good covering that we're feeling. My hope and my desire is that everybody will go home from here today different than what you came. Realizing that if I can put my faith in Him, if I can put my faith in Him, He'll see me through. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, yeah, He's seen me through all right. In fact, He's seen me through a knothole two or three different times now. Yeah, but you're on this side of the knothole, aren't you? My Lord, what are you grabbing about? Did you know that God can do that for us? That He can pull us through a knothole? Somebody said, yeah, but that's going to peel a lot of skin off. Not if God pulls you through there, it won't. God can do that for us. He can take us through things that we feel like life destructive. They will be if God doesn't help. But the thing of it is, realize this, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. And if we sleep in Jesus, we don't have to pass out of here thinking we have no hope. We have a hope. Hallelujah. And then on down in the next chapter of that same book, it makes this statement. It said, we are not children of the night. We are not children of the night. We are children of the day. Oh, Lord. Folks, you may think it's dark in here, but I'm telling you, it's not. They could turn all the lights out where you couldn't see anything as far as, you know, naturally looking at it. Brother Durham, we can go back to that spiritual feeling this morning, that spiritual sight. We can realize we're sitting in a church house that's full of light. Hallelujah, we're children of the light, not of the night. Whoo, hallelujah. Folks, we got a great opportunity. Out here a while ago, as Brother Philip Fisher was talking about being one of those white hairs. I know if you look at me, well, you'll see some white hair. Look at some of the rest of them around here, and their hair is going from black to white. Salt and pepper. Our hair is changing. If it can do that naturally, don't you feel like that it can do that spiritually? We're not talking about just a hair that's floating around, in, you know, like a cat hair or a dog hair. We're talking about a horse, a church, coming back into existence. That's changing colors. I had money to invest in. By the way, does anybody realize that this is horse racing season in Arkansas? Whether you do or not, it doesn't make any difference. We are in a horse race today. We're watching for the white horse. We're watching for the white horse. I believe that there's going to be some color change between here and there. Hallelujah. That's what Brother Smith read us those scriptures for the other day, saying, look, it can be done if we just get busy and begin to believe it. Where's our faith at? Our faith, and we begin to lift our faith to a higher plane. Don't you realize that we can see that white horse coming again, be a part of it? Hallelujah. We got a chance today. Thank God.
To receive the offering while they're getting ready for the band song. So if we could have the ushers come forward. While they're coming up, I'm thankful for all of our visitors this morning, Jacob and Terry Durham and their kids, and then Brenda and Gail and the three kids, Noah, Kayla, and Jordan. It's good to have them here, isn't it? Glory to God. And Brother Weaver, it's good to have him. Yes, amen.
mindful the Lord is of us and our, and we have a need. And just today, you can just feel the need of everyone, different ones that are here. And you know, like Brother Durham said, God knows what we need before we ask. But it's a communion between us and Him. And then that builds our faith when God does answer those prayers. And then at the same time, though, we do want His will, no matter if those answers may be yes or no. And to be able to have the faith to accept that and know that He does have His best in mind for us and our lives, and what that in the end, you know, what the outcome is going to be the best for us. And I'm just so thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord. And you know, I was just, you know, with my friend's father just passing away, that's really been on my mind, and remembering those feelings. And I'm sure it's different as far as how that feels when you're a child and when you're an adult, but the loss is the same, you know. But just how faithful God has been, and you know, through all of that, and He's always been there. And I know at times, you know, when, you know, I thought, it's sad to say, but in my mind, I think, well, maybe I would not have had the relationship with the Lord that I have had my dad lived. I may not have gotten that close to the Lord, and I felt like I could speak to the Lord and pray and talk to Him just like I'm talking today. And to have that is from, it was 5 days before I turned 11 years old, and I remember laying in my bed feeling alone and just being able to talk to Him, and I felt it. I felt His arms around me. I felt His presence with me, and I feel that presence today, and I'm just so thankful that He's so faithful, and He's so good, and He's so mindful. And just to feel that sweet, sweet peace here today, and just to know that just whenever we go to Him, no matter how far I may get at times, and you know, I get burdened down with things and feel like, you know, I need to do this, or maybe if I did this, this would work, or maybe if I did that. But just to get out of that mindset and just sit and just dwell on that sweet peace, like Sister Inez and different ones have said before, just to sit still and to listen to see what God is trying to say to me. And just to really desire Your prayers. And I just have such a thankfulness and love for the Lord today.
Home folk, visiting home folk, Brother Jacob Durham or anything, but Brother Jacob, if you would like to speak here, we would definitely appreciate hearing you. We don't get that pleasure that often, so I just want to let you know the door's wide open. I'm just saying.
I did have two thoughts that I would like to share and add. Why? Brother Fisher was talking, all the songs and everything everybody was been singing today. There's a movie Terry and I watched, a couple months ago, God's Not Dead. And that is one thing I know. I don't know if anybody has seen it or not. It's a kid goes to college, and I don't know if he takes I'm not sure what class it is, but his professor tells everybody, write on a piece of paper, God's dead. But his conviction in his life, he couldn't do it. He said, God's not dead. So the whole movie is about how he comes to debate with his professor that God is not dead. That is just one thing I want. I know a lot of there's a lot of youth in this church and everything, and I would like to share one thing. A lot of the verse or the songs everybody was singing, they were talking about is keep Him close and He will always be there with you. Don't stray away from Him. I know there's a song we sing at home, and I'm sure you guys sing it too. It's talking about your problems. About don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. Brother Dickens always says, he goes, if you want a tiny little God, He'll be a tiny little God for you. But if you want, he goes, I want a great big God. And he goes, I even want one bigger than that. So I've just really enjoyed the service. Thank you for everything, for the hospitality and the love that you guys all show.
And I know that God, He is in control, and He's still on His throne. So don't be dismayed when things are going wrong. He's still Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday and forevermore. Glory. Oh, but I am just, I'm sorry, but this has been such a sweet spirit today. It has the Lord. It was the Lord. Oh, Jesus. And I just want to say how thankful I am for His spirit that I'm feeling. I don't know how people can live. They could never feel the spirit of the Lord. I don't think I could do it. I really don't. And I know sometimes I may go through a dry spell. I'm thinking, Lord, where are you? But he's still here. He's still on His throne. He's still on His throne. And so I just want to say that whatever you're going through, just hold on. Hold on. Hold on a little while longer, and God will make you stronger. If you want to go through, He'll make a way. He'll give you strength from day to day. So hold on. Hold on just a little while longer. Glory, glory, glory.
Well, I want to thank God that I'm here today, and I want to thank God for everything that He has done in my life, that He's doing in my life. I've been going through something here lately, and it started out physical, but you know, when you have physical problems or physical needs, it affects you. Not only physical, but emotional and also mental. And you have a battle there, and maybe as much or more than you have in the physical. But I was thinking what happened to me here recently. I guess it's been about 3 or 4 weeks now. I left here one Wednesday night and went home, and I wasn't home very long when I just all of a sudden had trouble breathing. And then the next day, which was Thursday, I got in the van to go to the store, and I got out of the van, and all of a sudden I couldn't breathe very good. And that happened through Friday, Saturday, and also Sunday. And then Sunday evening, I was talking to someone. They said, well, I was thinking about going to emergency room, but I'm not a person that needs the emergency room. I don't hardly ever get sick or anything, so I can like diagnose anybody else a lot better than I can myself. But nevertheless, they suggested I went to the emergency room, which I did, and I was there several hours. They said, it's not your heart, it's not this and that. And finally, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, or so, they took a CAT scan and discovered blood clots in both my lungs. And so they admitted me about 4 o'clock that Monday morning and gave me blood thinners and stuff. And I went home. And I didn't blame God for what had happened to me. And as I thought about it later, I began to thanking God for these blood clots. I thank God because if it not happened that way, one could have went through my heart and killed me. We never know how God works things out in our life to prevent something more serious happening later. And God has been so good to me. I have lived alone for about 7 or 8 years, and it took some getting used to, but now it's very special. It's very special because God is so much closer than ever before. It feels like he's just right there with me so many times. And he answered prayer for me. I don't call any prayer a small prayer. Every prayer is important and important to God. And so when something happens, like, I wonder, where did I put my keys and stuff like that? Immediately I start praying because I don't want to think that I made a mistake like I did one night and left them outdoors on the table on my porch. And which, you know, since y'all know that there had been an intruder, you know, I guess if that happens, you know, then, you know, that would be a pretty bad thing. But I want to thank God, and I want to give him glory for everything he's doing in my life. And I want to let every one of y'all know that how special you are to me. I love y'all so much. I love y'all so much, and I want you to know.
Spirit of the Lord, like we did, hear different words. Just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be here today, to be a part of this, to feel that spirit. I know I can now go out this next week with a little bit more of a kick in my step. Feel that spirit. Want to be a good vessel for him. Maybe I can be a light to someone this week. We didn't take prayer requests. We know that there's a lot of needs that we have here in this church, though. We know that we need to remember Brother Smith as he's at the minister's meeting, coming back. Actually, is he going to the Dominican from there? Do we know? He's not? He's coming back home? Okay. So let's keep him on our prayers as he and Sister Smith are traveling back. The different needs, the standing needs that we have in this church. Brother Weaver, I want to say how I was out in the parking lot and I saw you come in and I was like, bless the Lord. There's another answered prayer right there. Just to see you sitting down there with us, brother, that's a wonderful thing. Today is dinner day, so we've been fed spiritually and got some good wine to give us an appetite. Now we can go down and fellowship with one another in the natural and have some wonderful food. I know there's plenty for everybody, so if you'll stand, we'll go ahead and bless the food to the nourishment of our body and lift him up and appreciate it. Is there any announcements other than after dinner? We usually have our normal cleanup. The church, there's not a night service for the painters or anything else coming forward. All right, okay. So other than that, we can also look forward to wonderful Wednesday night. We can come again and dive in once more and get one more step closer to him. So let's just lift him up today. Yes. Dear Lord, we appreciate you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, Lord. A place to come, a place of refuge, Lord. To fill your spirit, oh God, to touch you, Lord. To get one more step closer to you, dear God. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord. We, you know you hear. You hear our cries, Lord. Oh, God, you're the great physician, Lord. You're the answer to all of our questions. We just trust in you, dear God. We appreciate you, Lord. Keep your hand on us through this week, Lord. Bless this food, the nourishment of our body. Bless the hands prepared it, Lord. Bless our conversation downstairs, Lord. Let's always edify you and glorify your wonderful name. We appreciate you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Shake hands and be friendly.